Welcome to the Envision Together, Going to Our Next Level of Best podcast. I'm your host, Pamela Mashana. Join me on this bi-weekly journey of empowerment, where you'll hear hands-on advice from lifestyle experts, educators, authors, spiritual leaders, and many more who will share tips on how to triumph personally, professionally, and spiritually. We explore timely topics such as overcoming anxiety and fear, educating the reluctant student, cultivating lasting relationships, and strengthening our faith. My hope is that the insights offered on the show will help us envision ourselves using our unique gifts and talents on greater levels for greater purposes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Envision Together, Going to Our Next Level of Best. I'm so pleased and excited to let you know who's going to be on our show this episode. It is Marnie Swedberg, and she has lots of wonderful things to share with you and I. But before we get there, we're going to have her introduce herself in her own way. So welcome.
Hey, Pamela. It's great to be here. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Yeah. So, Marnie, I actually am old enough that when the internet was young, I got to get my own name as my .com. So I own Marnie.com, which, like, how cool is that, right? So there's some advantages to getting old.
I gotta tell you, you don't look old, so I don't know if you need to...
You were there, you know, we were there at the beginning when it all began, and it was so crazy. So through the years, God has just taught me what I needed to know to be able to mentor leaders and to be able to mentor women all over the world. And way back in 2009, there came a day when I had a big world map on my wall in my office. And whenever I would have another country come on, I would post a, you know, tag on it, you know, so I could see. And I had at that point mentored 15,000 leaders from 35 countries. Wow. And at that point, God just said, take it down. Don't count anymore. Just be, just live, just be. So it's just been such a great, fun journey to let God orchestrate all these incredible connections all over the world. Just right at this moment, we have a friend from Africa, from Kenya, staying with us for a couple of days. Oh, and, you know, when you say yes to Jesus, what happens is he does with your life exactly what he envisioned when he strung together your 3 billion base pair of DNA the way that he did.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thanks so much for such a delightful introduction of yourself. And, you know, you told us about you, but you told us about what you do and your passion. So I love it. And you said you have a visitor right now from Kenya. So my last name is Mashana, which is Swahili. My father's from Tanzania, and they're neighbors.
love it. Yeah, I've been there a couple of times. And I remember the first time I was going to go to Africa, and I wasn't familiar with what parts of the country had what languages or anything. And I had asked about that when they told me it would all be translated into Swahili. I got so excited because I just think that's the coolest.
I think it's cool, too. I think Swahili, of all of the African languages, so to speak, it's more of the romantic type, like
it is French beautiful
and Spanish, all those sing-songy type of languages. Yeah.
So I say to you all Asante, which is thank you, blessings.
Yes, Asante. Asante sana. Okay. Well, again, welcome. We're already off to such a beautiful start, but you know what? We want to go ahead and jump in and learn so much more about you and what you do. So I happen to know that you wrote a book called The Gift of Habit. Beautiful title. We think already that we know what a habit is, but when you say it's a gift, all of that together, I'm going to need you to unpack it. But before we get to talking about this book, the core of it, please tell us about some of your pain points in your life that may have led you to discover the content that you have put in this book.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, we could talk a lot of time about that, right? And all of you guys have your own pain points.
Absolutely.
Because of the position that God created me to fill in the world, I believe that my pain points are very extreme. And so it started as a child, and I just really couldn't get the hang of school at all. I really didn't learn how to read until I was an adult. So having since then gone on to write 14 books is just pretty astounding, because I just couldn't really, I had to sound everything out or memorize the words. I could not just flow until I was an adult. But since then, also been through fires and floods and tornadoes and hurricanes and car wrecks and a sinking boat. We've been through burglaries, and we've had business setbacks in my immediate family. We've had sudden death, head injury, hospitalizations, ambulance rides. So we have had, it's been quite a ride, but I want to tell you something. Those negative things that I just said, all of those pain points that I just mentioned, were all building blocks to deepen my relationship and my dependence on a powerful, loving God.
Yes.
And they all could have been so much worse than they were. They all could have resulted in either bitterness or destruction, but instead they resulted in benefit. And so all I can say is that when we're walking with God, when we have the habit, when we have the beautiful habit of going to Him for everything, it changes our experiences. Can I just tell you one example?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So we owned a restaurant and a retail store at the time up in northern Minnesota. And my parents lived in Minneapolis. And so they had driven up the week before this happened, they had driven up to our place. And my dad and mom just helped us so much. And my dad, especially, we had this huge flight of stairs to this second story of this building. And my dad was up and down those stairs, and he was changing out shelving units and just helping every way he could think of. And he'd go home and just die at night, you know, just exhausted, and then come back the next day and work so hard. They went home on Saturday, and then it's like an 8-hour drive between the cities. And then we went down on Monday for a buyer's show in their city. And so on the way into town in the morning, we just said, so are we still on for supper tonight? Yep, dad's out working in the garage, and we'll see you at supper. And so we went into the buyer's show, and we came out, and I looked at my phone. I'd missed a call. And so I just checked in on the message, and the message said, Marnie, your dad is dead.
Wow.
And that was just it. And he had just been so very alive the whole week before, and even just a few hours before. So a lady saw me standing in the lobby, and she said, ma'am, are you okay? And I said, I don't think so. I think, I don't know. And my husband came then, and he said, what's going on? And I said, well, the message just said that dad's dead. That can't be right. But he goes, we better go. So he grabs my arm, and we start going out. We're walking across this parking lot at this big convention center, and as we're walking, I'm just doing my habit of whenever I can't breathe, I just say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I'm so overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed in the moment, right?
Yeah.
Remembering that intensity. And before we got to our vehicle, God put this little thought in my mind that changed everything. The thought was, Marnie, if your dad is dead, then he got what he prayed for, even though I know it isn't what you would want. And so at that moment, God still was comforting me. There was still like hope that he wasn't, but at the same time, I had all these memories of him telling us, so it's just me and three sisters, no brothers. And all our growing up, he would say out loud to us repeatedly, I just don't want to grow old and become a burden to you girls. If I had sons, it would be different, but I don't want your husbands to have to take responsibility for me. So I just don't want to grow old. I just am okay to go home whatever day God calls me. And that's what came to my mind in that moment. And you know, Pamela, it was so comforting to me to know that while I didn't get my answer to prayer, which was my dad for a lot more years, he actually got what he wanted, and he had died suddenly. Just, he was working in a garage, and then he was on the ground dead with a massive heart attack. So I know. So when we walk with Jesus, you know, it changes how we experience the highs, the lows, and it changes the outcomes. So not being able to read as a child and now having written 14 books, that can't happen. That can't happen without God intervening.
Absolutely. And I can relate so much to what you're saying. I am slightly dyslexic, but it wasn't discovered until I was already done with school and I have a
Yeah.
PhD.
Look at that. Wow.
And but
Yeah.
it made me go through school thinking I'm dumb as a doorknob,
Right.
not
Exactly.
smart.
Yes.
I had
Right.
anxiety. I was
Right.
afraid a teacher would call on me to read, and I would read things in advance and hope to God they didn't call on me. But if they did, I mean, just all these
Yeah.
strategies we developed,
You had to do.
and we didn't know, I didn't know that it was a disability. And then I have my daughter, and she has the same challenge. Still not knowing this is dyslexia, I'm trying to give my daughter all this help. I'm
Right.
actually teaching her what how I
Yeah.
learned to overcome it, and all of this. So I can relate to that. So it's ironic that I too am an author, a writer, a
Yes.
playwright. It's
Yes.
so I can relate to that part, but I can also relate to when you lost your dad. I say relate loosely because I think every loss is so unique.
Yes, it's so
I
true.
don't like to
Yeah. I
tell
know how you
somebody.
feel.
I know
You
exactly how you
can't.
feel. I
Yeah,
don't
you
know
can't.
exactly how you feel.
Right.
And you don't know exactly how I
That's
feel.
right. That's right.
I
That's
think it's,
right.
I know people mean well, but it's almost insulting in a way.
It's a little simplistic, yeah.
Yeah, that's the right word. When my brother passed away, oh my goodness, he was 39, and we were supposed to live the long run together,
Right.
and we were so close.
Yeah.
We are so close. God blessed us. A lot of people thought we were twins. I'm the girl version of him. He's the boy version of me. And we always had these talks of how we were going to make the world a better place from childhood.
Yeah.
It was
Wow.
devastating when he passed. But God showed me that so many people have siblings and they're not close like that. They may have
Right.
until they're 90,
Right.
80.
Right.
So I was caused to be thankful that I had a brother like
Yes.
that for the time that I did have them. So I learned
Right.
to appreciate
Yes.
that I had him for the time that I had. And it
Yeah.
flipped my whole perspective
Yeah.
of even on his loss or the loss of him.
Yeah.
But I also believe that our loved ones go and they become a part of that cloud of witnesses. So
Yeah.
I think in a different kind of way, we are still achieving the goals, just differently than we ever thought.
Absolutely.
I believe
Right.
he's cheering from heaven, and I
That's
don't know
right.
what that means, but I think he has some part on that side.
Yeah, I'd love to just talk about that for a minute longer too before we go on, because I think a lot of people feel like, oh no, they wouldn't be able to see us from heaven because then they would be so sad when we're sad. But I think from the heavenly perspective, when they're with God and they see all of history, so like we're stuck in time, but God is outside of time. So they can see how it ends even as we're going. And it's kind of like watching a movie almost, that you know the ending is going to be okay, you know? So you know you can tolerate the movie, and you want to actually watch it. And I totally agree that from the safety of heaven, they are able to actually see what we're doing. And maybe not all the time, of course, but you know, I do believe it's possible. And I love that thought as well.
Wonderful. Well, we're off to a start already that I believe has the ability to bless the audience and just, hear our reflections around those things because we didn't plan to necessarily talk about those things
We
before you
didn't.
came out. So I'm going to believe that it's there to help someone. So we've talked a little bit about pain points, and while you shared a lot, and I happen to know that when you go through a lot, it does strengthen you, and it's for purpose. And like we talked about the perspective changing, you open by telling us how many people you have coached and reached around the world. So I think that what you've gone through has something to do with getting you ready to be
Right,
able to be
right.
that for so many people. So let's just back up a little bit. How do you define the word habit? We know there's a Webster's Dictionary definition,
Right.
but when you title a book with words, I know that that's very purposeful and intentional.
Yeah.
So I'd like a little insight into
Yeah.
what it means to you.
Yeah. So there's bodily systems, okay? The bodily systems, those are the things that are happening in the unconscious mind that we don't think about. The eyes are blinking, the heart is pumping, the blood is flowing, all the skin is regenerating, all that stuff happening unconsciously. So the habit then is the next level up from that. The habit is something that has to be started and carried forward consciously until it becomes such a rhythm that it almost becomes like an unconscious system. It doesn't ever reach quite that level, but it's close. When a habit becomes locked in at the deepest level, you simply don't even realize you're doing it anymore. It's like brushing your teeth in the morning, or when you were in school saying the Pledge of Allegiance and you would try to remember, did we do it? Or mealtime prayers, or things that you do all the time. You never even think about it anymore. It's just such a habit.
Knowing how to spell your name.
That's right. Yeah. You don't think about it. In fact, that's a good example. After I was married for a year, I worked in the health and fitness industry, and we would always sign off on people's charts. They were all manual at their paper at the time. We'd sign our initials. And after a year of being married with a new last letter, my initial, I realized that I had been signing all year with my maiden name initials. It had never even occurred to me to switch that last initial out. It took a year for that habit to change. So we have these habits that we've been doing since we were tiny, or even just for the last few years, that we're not even aware that we're doing. Some of them actually came into our lives very innocently. We didn't even know we were adopting a new habit. It's just that we started driving down a different road, or we started doing something differently. And as part of that routine, we developed habits. Other habits we were very intentional about.
Yeah.
We are going to get up and get our exercise clothes on and get on the elliptical or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
You have these habits that you've worked hard to develop, but now they're so part of you that if you miss a day when you're supposed to be doing it, if you miss a day of routine, you miss it. You actually miss it.
Right.
And so that's, to me, habit is just those repetitive things that you do over and over, typically at the same time of day or based on the same trigger. And the habit is just what happens next, right after that.
Oh, I love you pulling in that word trigger, because we do have habits that are related to a trigger, positive or negative.
Exactly.
And it's important to know that. I've recently, when I say recently, in recent years, have learned to control some negative responses that I've had in life that were connected to a trigger that would cause me to go into a certain habit. But until I could relate the two and see the connection, I couldn't win over it. So that's so important. But I also love how you explain it by starting saying that there's some things that we just do automatically, like our heart is just going to beat automatically. And we know that medically speaking or biologically speaking, that would be called an involuntary action of the body. And I like how you kind of set us up for that before you then talk about the intentional practices of habit. So it's just beautifully done. And I just wanted to just share a little information or what it makes me think of as I'm listening to you. So beautiful job. So during a previous conversation, you told me that people need clarity about wanting to change. They may want to, but don't know how to. So will you please expound on that idea?
So I think what I want to talk about in this moment is, I hadn't thought of it before, but what seems to be appropriate here is to talk about procrastination. Because most people beat themselves up about procrastinating. I'm lazy. You just are a loser. You can't get yourself to do it, whatever. But the reality is that typically procrastination is based on a lack of clarity. So I'm going to give you a couple examples. You're coming up to a stoplight and you're just driving along at however fast, 40 miles an hour, let's say, and you're coming up to a stoplight and all of a sudden you're getting closer and all of a sudden it turns yellow and you have to do a split second decision there. you're going to eat. And sometimes your foot even goes back and forth between the break. And
it's true.
I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden you make the decision and you slam one or the other.
Uh-huh.
You slam the gas or you slam the brake, right?
Yeah.
Because you have made a decision.
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of what happens is when we are in, especially when we're in a habit, and this habit has become pretty automated for us, and we're just doing it all the time. And you start to make a change on that habit, but you're not 100% sure if you can, if you want to, if it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
And so what's happening is that is inside of you, you're doing that flex back and forth where you want to press the gas, but you really kind of want to press the brake because you just don't know. But instead, what you do is you just hover over the gas and the brake, and you're just stuck there in that situation where some days you can, some days you can't. And so to really make good progress on a habit change, especially one that's really locked in, you really want to get to the point where you are crystal clear about the habit you want to replace it with, critically important, as well as that you really do want to make this change, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much it costs, you really do want to make the change and why. And when all of those things are locked in, the habit change can happen. But before that's all locked in, and it's really usually a lack of clarity.
Wow, that's powerful. And it's so powerful, you know, it's making me have a softer heart, so to speak, for people who procrastinate. I'm not so much of a procrastinator, so it's hard for me to understand people who get stuck in procrastination, because I'm such a planner and I feel lost if I don't plan and get things done early. Yeah. So I don't think I'm soft enough to understand people who maybe they just don't have that clarity of decision.
Right. And there are just natural born decision makers. Some of us just come out of the womb and we don't have to sit around and think about a decision. You know, one of my kids, he's so not a decision maker. And he had a friend who was not a decision maker. And I would walk by the living room and they'd be sitting in there, and one of them would say, "Well, what do you want to do?" And the other would say, "I don't know." And I'd walk by 15 minutes later and I'd hear one of them say, "Well, what do you think we should do? Well, I don't know." And, you know, and I was like, wow, you know, take some action.
Indecisive.
Yeah, they were both just highly, highly indecisive. You know, they're both professional. They're successful men in their professions now. But some people, just that does not come naturally too. And you really struggle with it. And especially when you're trying to make a change that's going to require a lot from you. This habit change thing, you know, some habits really require a lot of investment to make that change.
That's so true. You know, but I want to be honest too. Most of the time I'm the get it done. I don't procrastinate, but I do have moments and I'm like, what is going on in my world? I'm so indecisive. I'm like, I'm in the twilight zone over simple things. And I don't know what causes me to go in that zone, but I do go there sometimes.
Yeah. I like, there's another example that I share about a game show. If you were on a game show and they blindfolded you and they walked you out to the front of this audience, you know, you could hear people out there and you're on a platform, a stage of some kind, and they say, "Okay, we're going to give you a basket." So they put a basket in your hands. Now you're blindfolded. And they say, on your right side, there is a pile of dollar bills. And on the left side, there's a pile of dollar bills. However, one pile is $100 bills and one pile is $1 bills. You have 60 seconds. Put as many bills into your basket as you can. Well, if we are indecisive, we don't even know what to do. Like the timer gets going and I don't know which way to turn it. Turn back forth, turn back forth. But if you can just at that moment say, I'm not exactly sure which of these piles is the best pile. But if I take half of my time at one and then I go to the other for half of my time, I'm going to do the best possible being blindfolded. And I think that that's the second way to get out of procrastination is even when you aren't 100% sure what you should be doing, start doing something.
And that's what I think I commit to.
Yeah.
It's not okay to me for myself to not do anything. So I have to jump in and just figure it out. And if I'm wrong, okay, I lost my time, but even in losing that time, I learned something. I learned
and you
not
made
to do
some
that.
progress, right? You made some progress.
There's some kind of progress. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So now let's talk more specifically about your book. I know that you share the idea that there's not an instant fix. Great. Thank you for showing that. There's not an instant fix, but that things need to be walked out. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. Okay. So the book is called Flow Through Vessel, and it's how to master the habit of letting God flow through you. And in it, there's so much about habits because we, so I'm just going to say, like, as a Jesus lover, I just get up every day and I just want to live for Jesus. And then if sometime during the day or, you know, whatever, I may notice that I'm not.
I want to interrupt you just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you corrected me prior to today about the title of your book,
and that's okay.
I still did nail it. So I want to give you an opportunity to say it again loud,
sure.
And clear and slowly.
That's okay. Yeah. Flow through vessel. Yeah. So we are created to be, and if you think of like a plug in into a wall, where electricity can go through, and if you have the right amount of electricity going through for the right thing, it just works beautifully. But any lack or any overage is a problem. And so as we're connected with God, then we are his flow through vessel, bringing his energy to planet Earth in the way that he wants. And sometimes if I get over amped up, I give a little too much, maybe overwhelm people. If I'm weak, I don't say a thing. You know, I mean, it's like we are here to be God's love to people. And so that's where the idea for the book came from, is being a flow through vessel for God.
And I love that title, because I often use the analogy that we are a conduit.
Absolutely. Same
and,
thing.
And yep. God is using us to get some things that he wants
His
to give
stuff.
To other people. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Whether
Absolutely.
It's helping someone financially or helping someone by being a good listener or encouraging them or whatever the case may be. So I love that title, Flow Through Vessel.
Yeah, right.
Beautiful.
And then as I was developing the training on it, the habit piece is so huge, because we think, okay, this morning I'm going to get up and all those bad habits I've had all my life, today, God, I'm not going to do any of them. I commit myself to you, flow through me, and I'm just going to nail it today. But that's like saying to a passenger train and going 85 miles an hour on a track, stop and turn around. Your subconscious mind, this beautiful mind that God has given us, your subconscious mind is going to let you think it's going to let you do this. But the whole purpose of the subconscious mind, one of the purposes, is to keep everything even and status quo. So when you start to fall, your hands go out. When you start to get too hot, you sweat. When you're too cold, you get goosebumps. All of this is just subconscious. It's all unconscious. Your body's just doing this for you. Your brain will not let you crash your train. And so when you say, I'm turning this whole thing around today, your brain's like, yeah. Okay, well, good luck with that. And as soon as you get distracted today, tomorrow, the next day, we're going to be back on that 85 miles an hour trek, because that's where we belong. Because that's what you've told me in the past you want. Sometime in the past, you told me you wanted to be going this direction at 85 miles an hour.
Wow.
So when we are trying to draw closer to God, what happens is we put ourselves and others under so much guilt and shame because we can't change fast enough. But the reality is that this is God's gift for us. And when he took the children of Israel from bondage into freedom, into Canaan, he said, I'm not going to give you all the land at once. We're going to take this one habit, one city at a time, and we're going to lock this in so that you can, you know, build, shore that up and protect what I gave you. And then we go on to the next city, and then we go on to the next city. So once we understand this beautiful gift of habit, we can give ourselves, it's not like you get up and say, oh, I get to sin today. Yay. I am so excited. Not like that. But you can give yourself grace for the times when you cannot overcome a habit or addiction in the moment, that God knows, and he's working with you. He's taking you to freedom.
Wow. That's powerful. Thanks for sharing that. So it's Flow Through Vessel, the title of the book.
Yeah.
But you emphasize
Right. Habits.
The habits, yes.
Yeah. Because actually not being a conduit, not being a flow through vessel for God is our habits. We are in the habit of doing it ourselves, of coming up with it ourselves.
Yeah.
That's what we're in the habit of. So like I love the analogy of a straw. A straw is very flexible as to what goes through it, right? A straw doesn't say, no, you can't put chocolate milk through me, only Coca-Cola. You know, it's not going to tell you that. A straw just takes what it gets and it gives it out, right? Yeah. So when we are submerged in the water of Christ, and he's what's filling our, you know, he's given us this temple, this vessel. Yeah. If we are full of Jesus Christ and he is the water of life, when people suck on our lives, which they do all the time, and we say, you sucked me dry, or I'm fresh out of gas, you know, or whatever. We use these phrases because it's just what's happening. When we're submerged in Christ, they get Christ through us. When we're submerged in the best Marnie can do, that's what they get. And we're submerged, when I am submerged in toxicity, that's what they get.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
So we are in the habit of providing people whatever we can come up with. Could you give me this? Can you help me with that? Whatever. I don't know, you know, let's see. But when we shift over to the habit of letting God flow through us, we recognize that all of a sudden what used to be a limitation is now a strength. What used to be horrible to think about, fires or floods or tornadoes or sinking boats or car wrecks, all of a sudden you realize, oh, but because I have been through that, I have something different to give than I could have ever given without those experiences. It changes everything.
That's so good. So you're teaching us about habits in general. Some are unhealthy, but we get to relearn. I wanted to say earlier, it's like we have to unlearn certain habits and then intentionally learn and practice.
I always say replace. I always just say replace. Replace. Yeah, because the principle in the Bible is that when you clean out a house, like of a demon, if you leave that, if you then sweep it out, it's all nice, clean, and empty. What happens is evil comes back in multiples. Okay. So what happens is if we just try to remove a habit, it's that unlearning thing. You try to unlearn something, you know, it's like, don't think about elephant. Don't think about elephant. Don't think about, you know, you can't, it's like, you actually can't accomplish it.
Yeah.
You actually have to replace it with something, but isn't that beautiful? Because of course you would, because that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross for us.
Yeah.
He said, I will be your sin sacrifice. Instead of you having to do it, I'll stand in your place. And now you're free to go free. Right. I mean, it's amazing. So when we have this habit, and he says, the way this works is that you replace it. You say, I've been independent minded in the area of raising my children. And you say, I want God, I want you to help me raise my kids.
Yeah.
I want you to flow through me with my kids. And then every time you have a kid issue going forward, when that thought comes, as soon as you can, you capture that thought, you give it to Jesus, you let him comfort you. And then you go on with Thanksgiving in your day. What do you want me to do next? You know, and this habit replacement thing is so powerful. And if you'll just work at it over time with Jesus, let him do the hard work. I always say he does the heavy lifting. We just do the participations part, you know, and he does all the hard work.
This is good stuff. So you also mentioned the five levels of personal power.
Mm.
Can we touch on those briefly just to get a taste of it?
Absolutely. So this is like a 2-hour training. So I am going to be so, so brief here,
okay.
But I do want it. It's just so amazing. And when I understood how this worked, it just changed my life. So there are five levels of personal power that everyone has access to, but we all don't use. So the first one is just me plus existence, just me plus me. I'm here. And that means I have power. So even you think of a baby, when a baby comes out of the womb, the baby has no clue it has power. It just does. Mm-hmm. I start screaming in the middle of the night. Nobody gets any more sleep until something happens. You know what I mean? They have power. Babies have power. Not intentional maybe, but they have power. Everybody has power. Mm-hmm. And then when you move on to the next one, it's me plus ideas. So level number two is me plus ideas. And all of us have ideas. Most of us have lots of ideas. Some people barely get past their ideas. They really just have lots. Every time you talk to them, they're talking about new ideas that nothing ever happens, right? Lots of ideas. But an idea is a second level of power, because without it, you can't go to the third level. The third level of power is me plus my ideas plus action. And this is when things start to really change here, is because you're going to go and you're going to get moving. You're going to start taking action. And I like to use the analogy of when we owned a restaurant and we would hire 14-year-olds to come and get trained up. And most of those kids, we owned it for 14 years. Most of those kids stayed with us, even came back and worked holidays on college breaks and stuff. I mean, it was fun to watch them mature and to just build these long lifetime relationships. When we would get some 14-year-olds in, I would say, can you go sweep, you know, start sweeping the kitchen? And then I'd walk in and they would be standing there and the broom would be moving back and forth, but their legs weren't moving. Their body wasn't moving, just the broom in their hand moving back and forth. And I say, what are you doing? And they'd say, well, you told me to sweep. And I said, well, the goal of sweeping is to accomplish something. You actually have to try to get the dirt over into a pile so we can get it off the floor. So just basic action doesn't help too much, but action, you know, with idea, action with a purpose, like you have an idea where you want to go in mind. So then the fourth level is me plus my ideas plus action plus passion. When we add energy to anything, that changes everything. I do a whole training on just body electric, how you are vibrating. And if I took a brick and stick it up against a live wire, nothing would happen. But if I took you and stuck you up against a live wire, we'd have all kinds of trouble, because you're actually, you are body electric. And so when you get excited, you actually change the vibration level that your body is vibrating at. And that changes what happens. Whole long training on that. But just to say here, it's a fact. It actually is a fact. And by adding excitement and energy to whatever you're doing, you will have a different outcome than when you're just doing it for the sake of doing it. You get up, you go do it, you go do it. Or worse, you get up and you do it in anger or rage or bitterness. That has a different outcome as well, right? Yeah. Passion changes things.
Yeah.
All right. But now we get to level five. And this is the level that doesn't start with the word me. This level starts with the word God. God plus me, plus my ideas and my actions and my passion lead to eternal results. So I learned this when I was changing the diapers of my first child. And I had been an award-winning sales manager, and I had been used to getting, you know, free trips and meals out and all kinds of accolades and, you know, having lots of intensity all the time and, you know, just go, go, go and achieving all those goals. And now I'm home full time with this little baby and I'm standing at the changing counter and I'm changing my baby. And I just looked up and I said, really, God, really? This is, I mean, I loved being a mom. It wasn't that. It's just comparatively, it was quite quiet and, you know, not real stimulating all day long. Yeah. So I just wondered about it. And God just put in my heart, Marnie, if you will change his diaper with me, you'll have an eternal reward for that. Just like somebody who gives somebody a glass of water in the name of Jesus has an eternal reward. It changes everything to start with God instead of starting with me. What am I doing here? But then I said, God, what am I doing here? And he showed me, and that changed everything. So that's all based on 1 Corinthians 13. If you read that, you'll see what I'm saying.
Wonderful. So we're going to switch up just a little bit here. We've already established that you're successful ministering to people around the world. So we live in an age of social media. And one thing that you are really good at is you have tens of thousands of social media connections. And you claim to spend less than 15 minutes a day in social media and sharing. So how are you doing?
So over at Marnie.com, I actually have a free little workbook. It's just a small book. It's for free. It's called Sane, S-A-N-E, Sane Social Networking in 15 Minutes a Day. And what I do is I play ping pong. And so I ping out once or twice a day a message that's in my heart or something that's going on. So I have a lot of things pre-made. I like to, when my husband's watching TV, he actually doesn't watch TV, Pamela. What he does is he changes channels. So it was driving me crazy because it's like, I would just get into something and a commercial would come. We'd never go back. And it'd be like, oh, why are we doing this? But what I figured out is I could bring my computer out and I could just go on Canva and I could make beautiful art with scriptures or just a thought. I would sometimes just jot down things on a paper during the day. And then in the evening, I would sit and I would make a beautiful piece of art out of it that I could share on my social sites. So I have this huge pool of art that I can pull from. And so in the mornings, I just ask, you know, God, what's going on? Or what should I, you know, share? Sometimes I'll just come to the computer with an idea. Like this morning, I came to the computer with the idea, this is the day the Lord has made. Oh. And I went and I kind of just searched for, I have them all, you know, labeled. So I went and searched for this is the day and I didn't have one available. And so I just went quick and made one and put that out today. But in the morning, I ping out something encouraging. Mm-hmm. Just take a moment and ping it out. And then later in the day, if there's something going on, like I'm going to be doing a live interview on my show, or we've got a summit going or whatever, I maybe follow up with another ping. But then when I have a couple minutes, I usually just less than 15 minutes, usually I just sit and I pong and I just go through as many as I can. And I just allow myself a few minutes at each site to just go through some, and I don't get through them all. And that's life. I can spend my whole day on social media, or I can do what God's called me to do. So I spend a little bit of time on social media and then I go do the next thing God has for me to do. And I'm not saying, some people should spend more time because that's your ministry, is replying to comments and stuff like that. But the way that God taught me how to do it doesn't require that in order for me to have a large following. What it does is it every single morning allows me to touch souls that I would never otherwise be able to touch with an encouraging word in the morning. That's enough for me. Yeah.
That is so great. Well, we are coming to the end of our beautiful talk. And I have a few more questions for you, but I'm going to skip down and just say, if the audience forgets everything we just talked about, what's the one gem? You're like, people, hold on to this one, though. It'll change your life. It'll help you go to your next level best.
I think I'm going to select. I had a different one thought of, but I think this is what's coming to my heart right now. So I'm going to share this one. There's two greats in the New Testament. There's the great commandment that Jesus gave, and then there's the great commission that Jesus gave. And both of them are great, right? They're both great. So the great commission is going to all the world and tell everybody about Jesus and lead them into faith in Christ, you know. But the great commandment came first, and that was love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I think a lot of us have lost our way here, and we've put the great commandment or the great commission over the great commandment, where we forget to love people with God's love. That's actually the foundation on which the great commission can work. And if you're listening to me and you have felt like, you know, I don't know about this God thing, because some Christians, they call themselves Christians, but they're not very loving. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say, I think it was a confusion there that they mean to be loving, but they've gotten confused about trying to win you to into this beautiful, loving relationship with God. And they've gotten all intense about that on you. Mm-hmm. And if you're that person who's listening, I just want to tell you that isn't Jesus. Jesus is actually just loving you truly. I say, like God the Father, I had this great dad, Pamela. When my dad died, it was a huge loss to me. He was an amazing father, to the point when one day I was praying and I was comparing God with my dad, and God was like, Marnie, I'm way better than your dad. And I'm like, oh, I suppose, but who could imagine it?
Yeah.
But you know, if you can imagine this amazing father who truly, truly only always, always had your best in mind, and who truly, if he was allowing something hard in your life, it was to develop muscles or to develop skills or to place you in a position so you could go forward with the skills that he knew you had. And if you could imagine this dad that no matter what you did, He was always standing there like the prodigal father, standing there waiting for you to come back. And as you experience God like that, I think you're just going to change. And for those of you who know God and you've maybe gotten that little confused, just go back to that God loves you intensely, overwhelmingly, and that he only has good in mind for your life.
Wonderful. That's such a gift to everyone, whether they're Christian or not. Maybe if someone's listening and they're not Christian, you still set some things that are nuggets and things that they'll ponder and maybe grab hold of. You know, it's more than a delight. It's been an honor to have you on the show. And before I say the final thank you, will you go ahead and share with the audience how they can connect with you, get your book, and coaching, anything you want to share?
Yeah, right. Just marnie.com, marnie.com. That's it. Everything's there. So just go hang out for a while. There's so much free stuff, so much free training. And also, you know, of course, you can get to books at Amazon or whatever. But marnie.com is the hub for everything I do.
Marnie.com. All right. Well, it's such a, you know, insightful conversation. I'm sure listeners are going to hear what we've talked about today and be inspired to go to your website. I'm encouraging everyone to do so. And I just want to say again, you know, it's not that often I actually say it's been an honor, but I just love your spirit. Mm. And, you know, I've loved quite a few conversations I've had, but with you, literally the word honor came to my mind. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
It's been an honor to have you on the show. And
great to
God
be here.
God bless you and yours.
Thanks.
Well, friends, thanks for joining me for another episode of the Envision Together Going to Our Next Level of Best podcast. I hope today's topic inspired you to envision a brighter future getting to your next level of best, and to urge others to reach theirs as well. If you are encouraged by today's episode, subscribe and share it with your family and friends. Also, please write a review. It will help me to reach a wider audience with a message of hope and inspiration. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and share your thoughts about today's episode. Until next time, envision the future you want to see.